Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Anchorage Republican Josh Rivak is moving from the State House to the Senate. KTOO and Alaska Public Media report that Senate Republicans voted Saturday to confirm Rivak to fill a seat vacated by the August death of fellow Republican Chris Birch. Rivak says he emphasized to senators the need to compromise.
You know, when we look at issues, we have to balance the policy with sort of the public sentiment, you know, and all the issues that we're dealing with. There's some serious issues. Some folks look at things real analytically. Others just look at things politically. And finding a balance between the two, I think, is important.
Rivak was Governor Mike Dunleavy's second choice to fill the seat after Republicans rejected his first pick, Representative Lattie Shaw. Senate President Kathy Geisel says she welcomes Rivak to the Senate.
We feel that he knows how to bring folks together from all areas of the political spectrum, and he has demonstrated a desire to find real solutions that work for Alaska.
Rivak's South Anchorage House seat is now vacant. District 25 Republicans are expected to recommend replacements. Governor Dunleavy will choose a replacement who must then be confirmed by House Republicans. There was a fire at the Aurora Energy Plant in downtown Fairbanks over the weekend. A City of Fairbanks Fire Department post says a compressor failed and leaked oil, which caught fire early Saturday at the coal-fired generation facility on First Avenue. It says plant personnel tried to suppress the fire, but that it reignited several times. City and Fort Wainwright firefighters extinguished the flames, which they say did not move beyond the area around the compressor. The damaged compressor is valued at $40,000. The plant remains in operation. Former Fairbanks militia leader Schaefer Cox has a resentencing hearing in federal court in Tacoma, Washington this morning. Cox, 35, was convicted of illegal weapons possession, conspiring to murder federal officials, and solicitation of murder in 2012. The solicitation charge was overturned in 2017, prompting today's hearing. Cox is serving a total of 26 years, and the sentences for murder, conspiracy, and solicitation are concurrent, so it's possible that his remaining jail time will not change as a result of today's hearing. Attorneys for both sides have filed lengthy memorandums. Cox's public defenders say militia members only intended violent action in the event that authorities came after them as part of a Stalinesque crackdown. U.S. attorneys point to an active warrant out for Cox at the time and the real possibility of a violent militia response. The Fairbanks City Council meets tonight and will consider an ordinance which would eliminate the requirement for runoff elections in mayoral races in which no candidate gets more than 40% of the vote. The council will hold a public hearing and consider approval of the ordinance introduced by member Shoshana Kuhn, who says the change would save on election costs. Eliminating runoffs requires altering the city charter and would need unanimous approval by the council, followed by city voter passage and a special election within 60 days. Also tonight, the council considers reappointing Gary Wilkin to the Interior Gas Utilities Board of Directors and two appointments to the city's Diversity Council. The local chapter of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, or NAACP, held its 67th Freedom Banquet in Fairbanks last weekend. As KUAC's Robin reports, the diverse civil rights group has a mission of preventing racial and ethnic prejudice.
The audience of African Americans, Alaska Natives, and whites represented the outreach officers have done in recent years to partner with other Fairbanks and North Pole social groups. Tables for various churches, the American Legion, UAF, Climate Action Coalition, and Native Movement seated members. One speaker, Jessica King, said the intersecting groups reminded her of the strategies from her mother, Virgie King, who died in 2018. Virgie King was a past president of the organization.
Whether it's our religious body, whether it is a social organization, whether it's public service, we're all a part of something greater. And when we come together, when we fellowship and we support each other, especially with these partnerships, we can get so much done.
The theme of the event was Freedom Only Knows One Direction, Forward. Keynote speaker Jonathan Kenny was the Fairbanks NAACP Youth Council president until 2012.
We can't pass policy on our own. We cannot move different issues in our community on our own. If we must move forward, we must get past our differences. For us to move as a community, we must join forces and move together.
The Fairbanks branch of the NAACP was chartered in November 1952, and the first president was Marie Guffey, a white woman. The current president is Benny Colbert, who recalled how he was recruited by Virgie King, who was known as someone who would not take no for an answer.
It was two black bankers in this town, two black bankers. She came in the bank and she let me know that I was coming to the meeting. And I was like, well, but you know that meant I went to the meeting.
Benny Colbert was joined at the dinner by many family members, including his parents, and his sister Letitia Colbert, whose son, Chancellor Fields Colbert, died in July. The West Valley High School scholar athlete played basketball for Sierra College in Sacramento and was accidentally shot at a gathering there last summer. His brother, Cornelius Mingo, read a tribute.
He was a phenomenal four-sport athlete, but was a phenomenal student as well, always maintaining a 3.5 or higher GPA. Chancellor was friends with any and just about everybody he came in contact with. You wanted to be around him because he was always positive, happy, and always smiling and laughing.
Chance Fields Colbert was on the NAACP Youth Council. The Sacramento Sheriff's Office has been investigating the shooting. The association also honored Alaska Senator Betty Davis, who died last December. She was the first African-American woman in the Alaska Senate. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
In an effort to cut down on heating oil costs, the Northwest Arctic Borough is kicking off a project to install air source heat pumps in homes in the village of Ambler. KOTC's Wesley Early reports.
An air source heat pump operates a lot like a reverse air conditioner.
You basically steal the heat from the outside of the house and put it on the inside instead.
That's Ingemar Mathiasen, the energy manager for the Northwest Arctic Borough. He's heading up the project to install 70 heat pumps in households in Ambler with money from the borough's Village Improvement Fund. The pumps distribute as much heat as a small Toyo stove. Mathiasen says finding the right size was a balance between the cost of electricity to operate the heat pumps and the high cost of diesel.
You can get the heat pump big enough to do the whole house. The efficiency goes down, and we decided that the best way to do it is maximize the savings.
To maximize efficiency, Mathiasen recommends using the heat pump at temperatures above 0 degrees. Each heat pump is also being installed with a solar array that can generate up to a kilowatt of electricity independent of the local power grid. Mathiasen says that will drastically reduce energy use in the summers.
During the full sun, they won't draw anything from the grid.
The installation of the air source heat pumps isn't the only way the borough is lowering energy costs in Ambler. They're also installing LED lights in every home. Installing the pump, solar arrays, and LEDs costs a little over $8,000 per home, providing an average fuel savings of $2,000 to $3,000 a year. Ambler is the first Northwest Arctic community to have pumps installed in most of the village, but several homes and buildings throughout the region have had them installed as part of a pilot program over the last year. Two households in Ambler were part of the pilot project. Scott Jones says his system was installed in 2017.
I get up in the morning and the house got a little chill to it, so I just turn the heat pump on.
He says that using the heater in conjunction with the wood stove keeps the temperature at a very comfortable level, and he's excited about the new project.
They're going to allow me to use solar panels, and in the months of April to October, basically free heat.
And the pumps do more than heat homes. Mathiasen says they can be reversed to operate as air conditioners, an amenity that will become more and more useful as Arctic summers get hotter and hotter.
They also filter the air. So there's filters in there that if it's wood heat, you can just turn them on to fan mode, and then they filter the inside air.
Mathiasen says installation is due to start in early November, and part of the program will also involve training locals on how to service the pumps. Reporting in Kotzebue, I'm Wesley Early.
And I'm Dan Bross.